Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the very best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, and a wee smidgen of sports thrown in today as well. I'm sure we can manage that, even though it is the Thursday before Thanksgiving, which is always one of our favorite shows because we get to excessively talk about food. And one of the things I look forward to most throughout the entire year is, as we come up to this holiday season, is finding and recommending some really different, wonderful wines. And we're going to do that today in the good company of Chris Rommel of Southern Wines and Spirits. He is, of course, their sommelier, and he's come up with some really different choices this year. So if you're looking for something that will support local, we have something for you. And then things that you can take to the holiday Thanksgiving table, which we understand is going to be a lot smaller this year for all of us, and really enjoy. So stay with us for that. Chris is going to join us around about 9:30 this morning, and that should be really good fun to talk to him. I can't wait for that one because it's always my favorite time of the year. I know it's your favorite time of the year because you're like everybody, looking forward to Thanksgiving. And for so many people this year, it is going to be really different, Bobby.
You know, what's funny is that I always have considered Thanksgiving to be a real stress-free holiday compared to some others, like Christmas.
Well, stress-free for you.
Well, no, I'm just saying, relative to the family-type stresses that are inherent in Christmas,
yes,
you don't have at Thanksgiving. So, yes, we all acknowledge that you do the Thanksgiving dinner.
No,
is that where we're going?
No, but it's funny you should say that because I've been asking people this week, you know, how they are going to celebrate Thanksgiving and what are they going to do. And, you know, I don't know. You know, a couple of people have said, well, we have a big family, dot, dot, dot.
Right.
And
well,
I didn't go further than that.
Right, because I think what's happened is this suddenly with the pandemic, Thanksgiving's become a stressful holiday. It's because even within families, there's division. Do we have the whole group? Do we go visit with a big group of people?
Right.
I think it's causing lots of problems because some people are the hell with this, we're doing it, and other people are like, I don't really want to die over this. How would that be?
Yeah, exactly. It's really challenging, and I think, I mean, there's always funny things that will come out of the holidays because they are stressful. And I thought one thing yesterday, a very good friend of mine was explaining that her family have decided to do Zoom Thanksgiving. They have a very large family, about 25 or 30 of them. And so the idea is that everyone's eating Thanksgiving in their own homes. And then once they've had dinner, because I'm sure we don't all want to sit, you know, and watch people
eat. Well, people are chilling, yes.
But once they've had dinner, the idea is that everybody gets on a Zoom call and everyone in the family takes 5 minutes just to speak about their year and the achievements and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought that is the worst part of the holiday, all put into one Zoom call. I mean, normally it's like the Christmas card that comes from people who want to tell you how amazing their kids are and how everybody's incredible. And so I said to my very good friend, why would you do that? You're going to be with 30 people in your family all taking 5 minutes. You're going to be there for a couple of hours just listening to people saying, you know, and she was like, oh, you're right. That is the worst part of the holiday. So she's not doing it. But then that caused a little bit of concern, right, with people in the family. So I think you're right. I think this year it has to be go with the flow. I mean, you have to chill. It is a great day to get together, but we can do it another day, you know.
Correct.
Another time. Next year will be awesome. And so what we're going to do this year, Bobby, is give people lots of recommendations for good things to drink so that if it does get a little stressful, you have a relaxation at hand. Now, I'm not advocating that, but we are going to bring you some really nice things to talk about today. And we are going to talk to Foodland's CFO, Keone Chang, is going to join us this morning, although I don't know how he's going to find the time because Foodland
They do a big Kahala
market. Oh yeah, they do tons.
Huge.
We're going to talk to him about how to cook a turkey, but more pressingly, Kahala Market by Foodland opened yesterday at Kahala, and if you're driving by, you'll notice that it's extremely busy over there. So he's going to tell us a little bit about the concept behind that market. It's really nice. I was lucky enough to go for lunch on Monday. And they have a beautiful little restaurant, very nice little bar. It really looks fabulous and quite different from any of the Foodlands you've seen before. So that's going to be fun. And then, of course, Chris Rommel from Southern Wines and Spirits will join us later. And then very good news yesterday also, 12th Avenue Deli opened. So 12th Avenue Grill, as we mentioned last week, we're going to be portioning off part of their restaurant, and you literally walk into this great deli now. It's fantastic. It is absolutely great. It just works well. It flows well. The menu is awesome. And I met the chef, who is from Italy and who had been busy making burrata. He's a cheese expert, a master cheesemaker, in fact. So anybody in that kind of wildlife area, I would absolutely say go and check out 12th Avenue Deli. And you are going to love it because of things like the house-made pastrami, for example, which is
a big hit with me.
Porchetta. They have meals to go. They've got everything is to go. So to give you an idea, they do have seating inside and plenty of seating outside covered. But you go in and order, and you get your takeout, and then you go and sit where you like. So it's not like you're being in part of the deli. It's not like you're making a reservation to go to the restaurant, but it's really good. 12th Avenue Deli over at the site of 12th Avenue Grill. And, you know, this week, Bobby, I'm starting to get the feeling that there are lots of people who want to start opening restaurants. So as we're seeing things, you know, sort of ending chapters for some, there are lots of people hanging in the wings. So is it kind of like that with sports? Are sports kind of coming back with a vengeance, or is it?
I think it's actually, it's funny because I was talking to one of the guys who's an analyst, and he had a huge ESPN Zoom for all the guys doing basketball this year. It was 400 people on the Zoom call. But he said they're very, very apprehensive about, is it going to be able to be pulled off? And they're expecting myriad cancellations across the country and conference games, et cetera. Very few non-conference games being played. I think it's cautious optimism at this point.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because with football, it was like they were gung-ho and really couldn't wait to get started, and now basketball is taking a back seat.
Well, I think
because
they've
of what's happening around.
Exactly. Yeah. They saw what happened in football.
You have to be.
I mean, one game, more than half the SEC schedule was one weekend. Half the SEC schedule, more than half, was canceled with COVID outbreaks. So, I mean, I just think the evidence is that this thing is bad and it's getting worse.
How is that going to affect people's sort of holiday viewing? So Thanksgiving traditionally is, of course, a big sports day and a day that a lot of people really enjoy, you know, just...
Well, that's NFL, and NFL's been, you know, pretty much...
So that's
undeterred.
It's just going to feel the same for everybody on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, you'll be seeing empty stadiums, of course, where the games are being played. But as far as the TV product, it's very similar.
So not a big worry there, then.
Not in terms of having the game canceled. But, they'll have it for sure.
We are going to bring you lots of good food news today. We're going to be talking about the opening of Kahala Market by Foodland Farms. We're going to be reminding you that there is still time to order your turkey Thanksgiving to-go dinner from, I think, hundreds of places are providing it. This year has been by far the biggest year that you can get takeout at affordable prices, and there's a lot of competition and a lot of variety. I've seen turkey to go dinners for as much as $320 from a very elegant hotel all the way down to about $100, maybe $90. Obviously lots of difference in the size, the portion, the quality, but there's really something this year, I think, to suit absolutely everybody, because, you know, I think a lot more of us, and especially I think if you are family, it would be kind of fun to hear what you guys are doing. I mean, you can always give us a call and share with us if you want to. And is it becoming stressful for you this year, which, you know, a traditionally relaxing, fun holiday can, as Bobby said, take on just something completely different this year because of the stresses of perhaps not seeing people? I always think it's kind of easier not to see people, but I think you're right. There is stress in people just wanting to do the same thing they've always done. And I think for older people, it's probably going to be quite difficult not to get together and see people. Although I did, anecdotally, I did have someone tell me on Tuesday that their parents, who've been married for 50-something years, apparently quite happily, the fact that they're together 24/7, the mother, my friend's mother, is calling weekly to say, come and get your father out of the house. I can't stand it any longer. And it's purely because they've just
too much togetherness.
Too much togetherness. Who would have thought it? What we're going to do now is I think we're going to go and take a really short break. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. When we come back, we're hopefully going to have Keone Chang with us. Lots of great turkey talk. And we'll preview the opening of the new Kahala Market. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the very best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, and never a more favorite time of year than the week before Thanksgiving, kicking off the holidays. You know, before we go and have our next guest join us, I want to just give you a quick preview of something that I think is really important, and I hope that you can go and support this. But until November 30th at Murphy's Bar and Grill, they are working with Hawaii Literacy, and they are doing an Eating for Reading campaign. And it really is nothing for you to do, because all you have to do is order your usual takeout dishes that you purchase from Murphy's, and I know many of you do that. When you purchase your ticket for your entree between now and November the 30th, then you redeem it, your meal, using an online form at Hawaii Literacy. The donations go to them. You're entered in a drawing. Everybody wins. So it's one of those things. You can always count on Murph to do something that's a win-win-win situation. This one is a no-brainer. Go to Murphy's online, murphyshawaii.com, to find out, or you can go to Hawaii Literacy website. And I'll tell you more about that later on, but I just wanted to get that in because I think that's really a very easy, really important thing, and there's only a couple of weeks left to support Hawaii Literacy, which is a hugely important program, way more than you have any idea, I think. Now, I don't even know how our next guest has time to join us this morning, because I just heard from someone that the lines are out the door at Kahala Market and everyone's all excited about the newest opening of Foodland. But he's here with us. Foodland CFO Keone Chang is joining us this morning. Hey, Keone, how are you?
Hey, Keone.
Hey. Good morning. How are you both?
We're doing pretty good. How are you? More to the point, another opening. How's it going?
Good. I mean, it's been a grind, but it's one of those rewarding grinds where you know there's a lot to do and you have to build momentum, and then it's kind of like you see this whole thing come to life, and when everything works the way you want it to work, it's very rewarding. And so far, things are working the way we want.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but this Kahala Market, Keone, looks to me like it's kind of a progression in the direction that you've been heading for a really long time. I mean, now not only do you have an area within Foodland Farms to have a glass of wine or a beer and some nice small plates, there's actually a full-on restaurant in Kahala Market.
Yeah, I think to that point, and in the conversations we've had over the years, we've gradually tweaked and adjusted and added to all of our different concepts. And yes, this store, Kahala Market, with Et Al as a restaurant, I think is the next phase in what we're doing. It's a really interesting store. It's a small, tiny store relative to some of the other ones, but it has a really nice curation of conventional, natural, and organic product in the store itself. We have a really fun hot food and pizza station that's there, completely reimagined grab-and-go food. And then, yes, we have a full-service restaurant attached to it, really beautiful design, the kind of place we think you want to come, you know, a couple times a week, multiple meal periods, but just really well designed with the interior and architecture and just amazing food.
I'm glad you mentioned the architecture. I think it's quite stunning. I mean, grocery stores have really progressed now into the category of grocerants, and they are definitely a mixture of places where you want to go and spend more time and choose food either to take home or to eat there. But this design of the store is really stunning, and I think particularly around about the wine area, I love how they've done that. Really, really nice job.
Thank you. Yeah, we were really happy with the design. We had a lot of people working on it. We have some art installations by Stephen King that's really, really amazing. And then in the restaurant itself, we used a local architect, Workshop Hawaii. Jason Seeley did an amazing job. And then the interior design was also done by a local company, Vanguard Theory. Michelle Jaime and her group, they really worked together. And so, you know, we're really proud that we're a local company, and we're supporting not only local producers and manufacturers, but we're also supporting the local design community. And I think it all came together well because, you know, you kind of need a local people that are from the community that really understand the DNA of the community, and they can really make sure that it all comes to life the right way.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think that's the feeling you get when you walk into it all, is you feel like, oh, this is kind of organic. This really is very seamless. It really works. It feels very casually elegant. I think all in all, you've done a fantastic job. I do think people are going to be surprised because it is a new look for Foodland in terms of the products recognizable. Your own brand things are there, but it really is a step beyond, I think, for people who are familiar with Foodland over the years. Are you finding already that the response is, I would imagine, really positive, especially in that area?
Yeah, I think the response has been really great. And you know, to note, all of the differences that you're talking about really also led to why we named it Kahala Market, or MKT for short. It's Kahala Market by Foodland. And we did that specifically because as we looked at the store space, we said, you know what, this isn't a traditional Foodland. And as we look at it, it's not really a Foodland Farms either, which we've been opening recently. You know, it's a smaller store. It's a much more modern design. The restaurant we're going to add into it has a much more modern architectural design too. And so we want people to know that this is a Foodland family store, but the approach is a little bit different. It's a little bit more modern. And as we looked in the Kahala community and we looked at what was available and, you know, already, we wanted to bring something to the community that was not a Me Too or another version of. And so we feel like what we brought to the area is something that's completely unique, something that's different, and we're adding to the offerings that are already there. And so far, the response has been really, really great. People are really enjoying what we've brought, and I think people in the community will be proud to make it their own.
We're talking with Keoni Chang. He is the CFO, that is the Chief Food Officer, of course, of Foodland, and Kahala Market is open. It opened yesterday. And you're going to find a very different kind of offering from the Foodland team. Personally, I think people will absolutely love it, and it's perfect for where it's situated. Keoni, tell us a little bit about the chef essentials and the take-home kits, because I think people are going to love what you've done with these.
Yes, and so as we thought about this store, and we continue to think about how people's shopping, you know, and eating habits have changed, we really wanted to continue to go even further into grab and go and to convenience. And so we have, you know, a case dedicated to what we're calling chef essentials. And in that case, you know, you can get a myriad of different things like fresh chopped garlic and ginger. We have, you know, dressings and marinades, and we have sauces and stock. So you can get fresh bone broth and chicken stock. We make hot pot broth. You can get fresh marinara, where we're making ragu, a myriad of different interesting Asian and globally inspired dressings and marinades. And so all of that for your cooking convenience. And then if you don't want to do that, we have a lot of different things that are ready to just take and eat. And so we have what we're calling duos, which maybe as an example would be roasted char siu pork loin with chow mein, or we're doing a really nice chicken parmesan with spaghetti and marinara, and we're doing a fresh catch that's sort of our take on fish and chips with roasted potatoes. So easy stuff that you can take home, totally friendly, family-friendly, feeds four. And then if you want to be more adventurous, you can do the calabash, right, which is more assembly required. And if you want something in between, we have like pizza kits that you can take home and assemble. We have taco kits you can take home and assemble. So really things to get interactive and get into it with the family. And we thought really just a really good way to also address, you know, the current situation we were dealing with it, which is the pandemic and people are eating home more. But, you know, I think there's some of that at-home cooking fatigue that's happening. And these are really good solutions that people can do and also spend more time with the family. And if you're not, and if you don't want four, we have a whole new reimagined set of salads, sandwiches, wraps, grain bowls, power bowls that we're doing for one, desserts we're doing for one. And we've also done things like introduce some other sort of like health-minded things, like we're making our own probiotic-style drinks. We're making our own yogurt blends. We're making protein milks that you can buy as meal replacement. And then if that's not enough for you, we have a hot counter that you can come up, and every day we're offering a beef, chicken, pork, seafood, where you can pick a main and two sides. And so as an example, you can get whole roasted chicken with grilled broccolini and fingerling potatoes, or grilled flank steak with cauliflower rice and mac and cheese. And so just really nice comfort food, well executed. And then we have pizza. And so we're doing them 12 inch. So it's almost like an individual size where you could get, you know, buy one and have a little bit left over, or you could just buy a half if you want to like tide yourself over. And we can do it mix and match. So you could say, I want pepperoni and truffle mushroom, and get half and half and make it a meal. So a lot of fun with that. And then, of course, our poke, all fresh ahi. And in that case, we've introduced a fun new flavor, which is kabayaki. So it's kabayaki sauce and ahi, and we're taking it's basically like chili sheets that are cut very thin, like hairs, and we're garnishing with that. So it gives it nice, a little bit of heat, but not overpowering, nice warmth, nice texture to that poke. So a lot of just really, really fun options for you to decide how you want to eat and how you want to treat yourself. And then if you want the full experience, then of course come to Et Al, which would be a sit-down dining experience, and you could have lobster roll or, you know, short rib arancini or mushroom risotto.
It's like you could just basically spend the whole day there. Like start off, have some breakfast, wander around, go for lunch. I know, without even asking or looking at Bobby, I know that he's going to ask you a question about the toppings on your pizza, and he's going to ask you, do you have a certain topping?
Anchovies.
Oh, you know what? That's a great question. I don't have them, but we have our field department in there. So if you come in and you want anchovies, I'll walk around. My question is going to be, you want regular or white anchovy? And I'll get those.
Wow. That's styling. I mean, white anchovies on their
pizza. A white anchovy pizza, in my opinion, is one of the greatest things you can put in your mouth. I just absolutely love it. And I know I've known Bobby for so long that whenever we order pizza, the people who are surprised that we're asking for anchovies were like, that's not going to work. So good. I knew you were going to ask that without even looking at you. Kaylee, my next question for you, though, is while you were describing the food opportunities and options there, and I'm really glad that this show is also a podcast, because I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are just like, what did he say? What is that? They can go and listen to it later. But I'm just thinking, okay, you are just immersed all day now in creating new dishes and coming up with new ideas and just food, food, food everywhere. What do you do when you go home? Like, what do you have for dinner?
You know, that's funny. Peanut butter and jelly. No, just kidding. I think there's reflections in what we, in the, especially in the hot counter, the kinds of things we eat at home are, I would consider them simple whole foods, but very quickly prepared and put on the table. So I'll use an example. Last night after we opened the store, I had to come home and we did home cooking with Foodan, which is a Zoom class that we do every other week. And so last night I was teaching classic stuffing and cranberry pineapple chutney, and I didn't want to show turkey, so I took a boneless pork butt, and I just really quickly marinated it, threw it on the grill, and let it roast on my grill. And then I took some broccolini, and I blanched that, and I put lemon zest, slices of grapes, and crushed almonds on it. And that became the class. But I think that's also very reflective of the kind of food that I eat at home and I do for the family. It's just simple food, not heavily manipulated, but also not processed food. And that's kind of like how we like to eat at home.
So that transition does beautifully into, it is of course the biggest cooking holiday. This time next week, a lot of people will be stressing out about the bird. Of course, people can pick up almost every element of Thanksgiving dinner from Foodland. You guys have some amazing Thanksgiving offerings at each of the different stores, and people can find that online.
Yeah.
But just give us some tips, Keone. I mean, for somebody, you know, who hasn't seen a turkey since this time last year, what are some of the things you think people do wrong, and what are some of the things that you can do that they can do that might just help a little bit on the big day?
Yeah, I would say, you know, definitely as much as you can prep ahead. So if you're going to do, like, sweet potatoes, go ahead and if you're going to bake sweet potatoes, bake them. You can bake them as early as this weekend, slice them, get them prepared, get the marshmallows on them and everything, put them in the refrigerator, and then all you have to do is throw them in the oven the day of, and then they're ready to get served. The cranberry sauce, if you're going to make your own, do it now. That'll totally last. The only thing you really want to be doing, I think, on Thanksgiving Day would be roasting the turkey and making the gravy. And to that point, you know, turkey, it's all about safety, right? So if you're getting a frozen turkey, you really want to make sure that you got it in your refrigerator at least by this weekend to give it 3 days to thaw naturally before you roast it. Worst case scenario, you forget. One of the things, the tricks we've done is I throw a turkey in the cooler with a bunch of ice, and then it'll quick thaw. But you just want to make sure that as it's thawing, you don't want the outside of the turkey to become room temperature while the inside is still frozen. And these days, we're telling everyone not to stuff the turkey, to bake the dressing on the side, because it's just a safety thing. It takes so long for the turkey to roast, and you get all these raw juices going into the stuffing. If you don't cook it enough, then you run into a food safety issue. And then the last one I tell everyone is please, please, please. Well, two things. Take your turkey and leave it in your refrigerator uncovered overnight at least, so that it can dry the skin out to crisp the skin when you roast it. But the other part is please, please, it's really worth it to go buy a meat thermometer so you can temperature the thick part of the leg to 165 degrees Fahrenheit versus relying on that pop-up thing, because the pop-up thing will pop up, but usually it pops up way after the turkey's done. And so it's a safety mechanism to make sure you're eating it safe, but usually safe in that instance means overcooked. So get your meat thermometer and really go for that 165, and that's going to give you the best eating experience.
And for some people, it will change their experience with turkey, because I do think there's a huge amount of the population who think that turkey breast is just a dry, chewy meat. They don't know.
Yeah.
And the thing I always love to say at Thanksgiving too is never underestimate the power of amazing gravy, because if you can make an incredible gravy, it covers up a multitude, including if your bird gets a little bit dry.
Yeah, and the gravy, you know, that one. Someone asked me on the Zoom class last night how to do that, right? And I said, hey, first of all, take the neck, and then really simmer that and make a really rich turkey stock. And let that come to room temperature or even refrigerate it. And then when the turkey comes out, get the pan, put it on the stove, and all the little drippings and all the little bits that are in the pan, cook it down and let all the juices that have come in evaporate. So all you're left is with the fat. Lightly flour that, cook that so you get a really nice golden amber color, and then whisk in that cool refrigerated turkey stock, and you're going to have a really amazing gravy to go over the turkey.
It all sounds incredible. I hope that you, after your very, very busy year of opening new stores, have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend and really have some time to relax with your family and eat some great food. And thank you so much for being with us. If you missed Keone's cooking at home, don't worry. If you go to foodland.com, you can join and see back episodes. And his next live one, Cooking Class from Home, will be on December the 2nd, which we'll look forward to tuning into. Thank you so much. It's always so fun to talk to you. Never more at this time of year. And again, congratulations on the opening of Kahala Market and et al.
Congrats, Keone.
Thanks. Thanks so much. And everyone, have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Keone Chang, who is the CFO of Foodland. He's done such an incredible job of taking them over the years from their locally loved, quite traditional grocery stores to where they are today. And go and check out Keone's Cooking at Home. He's really doing a fabulous job there. Home Cooking with Foodland, foodland.com. And you can see his Thanksgiving tips from last night on there. Okay, now we're going to go and take a really short break. And don't worry, if you missed any of that and all of the gorgeous food he was talking about, we will have this podcast up later today, and you can listen at your leisure. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for being with us this morning on Radio Mojo Plus. We do this every Thursday morning. And if you want to know more about our work with restaurants, then you can go to our website, mojomagari.com, or Radio Mojo Hawaii will bring you up to date with all of the podcasts that you may have missed. Bobby has some sports news.
There is, it's kind of, if you're a Golden State fan, this is sad news because it's Klay Thompson, who had an MRI this morning, turns out has ruptured his Achilles and is out for another year. This is after missing. He was rehabbing and ready to get back to it, and he'd been out a year and a half. He'll be out another year. Only 30, though. So the good news is he will be back.
There you go. Was that a scoop in the sporting world?
Yes, it is.
There you go. See, we bring you lots on this show on Thursday mornings. What I'm really looking forward to bringing you right now is Thanksgiving wines. What shall we be drinking on Thursday, or in Chris Rommel's case, probably on Tuesday night, just leading up to Thursday? Chris is joining us. He, of course, is a sommelier and brings us the best possible wine recommendations. How are you, Chris?
Hey, Joe. How's it going, Bobby?
Hi, Chris. Good.
So this is the time of year, I think, where we get to have the most fun with wine, because you can go in any direction, because on the Thanksgiving table is almost every kind of flavor, from sweet to salty to greasy to, depending on how poorly your cook is, dry. I mean, there's everything there, right, Chris? Where do you start with recommendations for this amazing table?
That's such a good point. I mean, Thanksgiving is a progression, right? And there's a disclaimer here. It's like, it's not just a wine. If you're like me, you're eating and drinking the entire day. So it's a beer fest. It's a wine thing. It's a liquor at the end. It's cigars if you're lucky enough. And I might repeat myself with some of the producers here for wines, but that's kind of what Thanksgiving is, right? It's like, for me, the day that you play your greatest hits, the things mm-hmm. that made me really want to drink, the things that are perhaps I have a little bit more of an emotional attachment to. Drink what you like within your budget, and you'll pretty much be happy either way. For my case, I'd love to start off with sparkling wine. A couple of my favorites, because, you know, champagne is great for celebrations. I'm in the mood for drinking at Thanksgiving, so I can't spend a lot of money on champagne traditionally, per se. I land on Prosecco. Very specifically, there's this producer from Italy called Sommariva. The thing about that wine is that it's Prosecco, but it has just the right amount of seriousness. It's hand-harvested, which is something that really retains freshness and kind of prestige in the grape. And you can taste it right away. And it's priced well enough that you can buy multiple bottles, even if it's just you and the household celebrating Thanksgiving this year, which in most cases will likely be.
So Prosecco has just become, I think, people take it so much more seriously now than, say, a decade or so ago, when it was thought of as just something that was a bit sweet. There was some really horrible Proseccos on the market, in my opinion, that would put you off them for life. And I think now you go to the wine stores and you just see some beautiful Proseccos. It's becoming harder to know which ones to choose, because the quality and the choice is much, much better. This one,
absolutely,
particularly, it's just got so much fruit and lightness and peachiness. And is that what you like about it, or is it more the handcraftedness, the fact that it's an artisan product?
That's a great question. So I always tell people, like, when they're trying to search for wines, and, you know, we preach about local all the time, right? Buy local ingredients, buy local, like, organic things like that. And honestly, for me, it's not something that I can pick up in a blind tasting, right? First and foremost, mm-hmm. the wine needs to be just straight up delicious. And then you start to learn about them as you love these wines more and more. And the hand-harvested thing, the fact that it's family-owned, run since 1950, it's a bonus, right? Like, that to me is a bonus for wine, especially right now when I don't have the disposable income. You're right about that. Like, a lot of people tasted these sparkling wines and had a bad example, because let's face it, there's a lot of bad examples out there and they get turned off mm-hmm. forever. Now, speaking about locally, like, I know I pounded the drum for Maui Winery as much as possible. I just had a bottle of Lokelani Rosé last night, and it's drinking fantastically. I'd love to also tie that in with our fields. Kahala just opened up, and they have both of Somariva and Maui Winery's Lokelani Rosé. I can't wait to check it out.
Oh, that's so good to know. That's a beautiful, very small wine store, but beautiful, isn't it?
See, I haven't been, and I can't wait. I mean, I have food and wine coming up, like, the next three nights, but I have the amazing bartenders, formerly from Nobu. I know Kenny Lum's involved with the project. I can't wait to sit down and have a proper cocktail.
Oh, you are gonna love it. And here, we're trading off here, because I'm really upset with you because you're getting to go to the Pig and Lady Slanted Door dinner tonight, and it was sold out when I went to get tickets. And then you can be really annoyed with me because I had, like, a really nice pre-opening lunch at Kahala Market at all. And you're quite right.
That's funny.
The influence of those guys from Nobu, the manager is Johnny Choi from Nobu. You know the bartenders. You really feel it. As soon as you walk in that restaurant, it's got a really different feel. So you'll enjoy that when you get there. But you'll enjoy tonight even more, I think. You must be looking forward to tonight.
I didn't remember getting that invite, Joe, for that soft opening. That's okay.
Well, maybe you took my invite to the Pig and the Ladies. Hey, what are you pouring tonight at the Slanted Door dinner? What are you going to be drinking? Are you pouring Lokelani?
Fortunately, no. I'm going to probably start off with that somewhere in the parking lot, maybe. But tonight, for Pig and the Lady, we have a bunch of amazing, amazing wines. One of my favorite champagnes not necessarily for Thanksgiving, but what is for Thanksgiving is we like to start with dessert first as well. Like, who says Moscato? Oh, man, I'm really talking about sparkling Italian wines today, huh? But who says Moscato can't be an aperitif as well? Like, who says you can't start off with that? So for Pig and the Lady, with their last course for dessert, we're pouring Paolo Soracco's Moscato di Asti. Now, I know, it's just like Prosecco. It's so overly done. They're stacked on pallets everywhere you go and in storefronts. But Paolo Soracco is probably the most established grower in the entire world, really. The difference between that is not just the hand-harvesting stuff, not just the attention to detail in the grapes, but the fact that they own their own vineyards, which is extremely rare in an appellation like Moscato di Asti, where there's so much wine made there.
So, again, this Soracco Moscato d'Asti. This is, again, one of those wines that if you're not familiar with it, you're going to kind of bypass it in the aisle, and you shouldn't. You should stop and pick up a bottle, not just because it's one of the best in the world, but the price point is just amazing, Chris. I'm just astounded that you can buy this for the price.
Yeah, you know, it also won. So there's this Italian magazine called Gambero Rosso, and they rate wines based on one glass, two glass, or three glasses, or the famed Tre Bicchieri, three glasses, the highest rating. It's one of the only Moscato di Asti, because the Italians themselves look down upon that, you know? It's one of the only Moscato di Asti that won Tre Bicchieri. So not only is it an affordable price, but it really is. Like, you can drink that, and if you don't like it, just know that you don't like Moscato di Asti, because that's pretty much the best one.
Yes, I love that. It's like, if you don't like this one, don't ever try Moscato di Asti ever again, because you really, it doesn't appeal to you. I think what's nice about this one,
cool too,
is it's not super sweet. It's semi-sweet. It's got that, again, that lovely, I just love this flavor of peachy apricots. It's something, you're quite right. It doesn't have to wait till the end of dinner. You could easily start dinner off with this.
absolutely. And it's like perfect with tropical fruits, which is exactly what's going to be on the plate for tonight.
Now, is this also available at the new Kahala Market? Is it at Foodland? Is it Arfield? Fujioka's? Is it in all those places?
Yep. I'm not too sure about this particular Arfield, the Kahala one, but you'll find it at Fujioka's, Tamura's, all your local fine wine shops, for sure.
Sounds good. Well, we're really bringing people something different this year, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to show, you know, everybody knows that Pinot Noir is fabulous with turkey because it kind of ticks all the boxes, but I think what we wanted to do and what you've done is just bring out some different wines that are lighter and fizzier and celebratory, and they'll take you through the holidays. I mean, these wines today are going to be just as good on your Christmas table at New Year's as they will be at Thanksgiving.
That's a great point, for sure. For sure. Do we have time to talk a little bit about reds?
I wanted you to talk a little bit, if you can, about Syrahs, maybe more,
yeah,
if we have time.
I mean, I know everybody loves Cabernet Sauvignon, right? The grape is king. It's the most widely grown grape in the world. I had a bottle of Joseph Phelps Napa Cab, one of the very first adult Thanksgivings I ever hosted on my own. So that's one of those things I'll be drinking sentimentally for sure. And you know, I speak about Ancient Peaks Cab like ad nauseum here on the show. It's one of my favorites. But I really have to get people into Syrahs because for Thanksgiving, you need a lighter red, right? The traditional Thanksgiving pairing is Beaujolais, which is Gamay, which is probably the lightest red grape on the planet. But Syrah is that like entry-level thing, that gateway drug for people that want to step up to, want to move towards lighter wines, but also don't want to go to the lightest wines. So I have it on really good authority that two of my favorite producers out of Washington, Ryan Vann, R-E-Y-N-V-A-N-N, and Force Majeure, have been picked up by Fujioka's, Arfield, Tamura's, at a crazy, crazy price. Like, usually these are wines that I can't buy normally, but for whatever reason, I've seen a couple of bottlings on the shelves that are just a phenomenal price. I mean, I can't believe they're still in the store.
Well, they might not be after this, so we all better get along to Tamura's and Fujioka's this morning and stock up. So the Force Majeure that you're speaking about, is it the Red Mountain Syrah or another?
Yep. So I think all of the fruit are from Red Mountain, which is like the new hotspot. It's pretty much known as like the Napa Valley of Washington. It's going to be that new place for Cab and Syrah. Todd Alexander, the winemaker there, was the former winemaker for the Colt family, Napa Cab, Bryant family, which sells for upwards of $400 or $500 a bottle. It's a crazy small amount that goes to retail. That's why I'm talking about it. And it's almost exclusively on the mailing list. So these guys don't need my help to sell the wines. I just would love if everybody could go out and get a bottle, because it might be the first and the last time that we get to taste these amazing Syrahs.
And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but for people who like to buy their wines and put them down for a couple of years and not drink them immediately, this is one that really is going to drink beautifully for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years, yes?
You're absolutely right. Like, just between Force Majeure and Ryan Vann, there's a couple of bottlings from Ryan Vann, like the Contender and Stone Essence, that actually you can wait on it. But the cool thing about why I'm talking about these two producers is because we had multiple vintages, multiple older vintages released on the market. And the price is crazy enough that, like, these are candidates for you buying multiple bottles, 2, 3. I'm going to pick up an entire case and just drink them within the span of like 6 months at a time to see how they evolve.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who are going to have fun doing that. Luckily, as I've been saying all morning, we're today, I think, the most grateful that we podcast this show, because there's so much information on it. So don't panic if you had to get out of your car or if you didn't quite hear everything Chris said. Every wine that he's spoken about this morning, we're going to have on our podcast, and I'm going to link to information about each of them so that you have no trouble in finding them at your local wine stores. And I really hope that all of you enjoy these different wines this morning. Do you have a final one before we go, or is that
just
quite a lot
just
for one
tip.
Day?
Just, Yeah, just another tip. Just especially now, if for those listening today, don't be afraid to call these local stores. You know, Fujioka, Zarfield, Tamura's, and like I said, there are multiple vintages and multiple bottlings of these producers released. So, like, I would call them, get inventory, and do research on your own, because there's a ton of literature out there. There's a ton of amazing reviews out there that you can find, and it becomes like this fun little Easter egg hunt, right? Like, which one do I think I'll like? Which ones do I want to find? It's wine's supposed to be fun. Not only is it like an intoxicant, but it's really cool to learn about, I think.
Very cool to learn about, and no better time to really, really start having fun with it than over the holidays, starting really this weekend, right? I know that you're someone who it's never too early to start celebrating. It's kind of when you're cooking, you have to start this weekend and get into the spirit. Chris, it's just always lovely to talk with you, and I'm so happy that you're able to join us this morning. We hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, whatever you are doing, and we'll look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks about the next biggest holiday of the year as we get ready to celebrate Christmas and New Year's.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on. I just want to tell everybody to stay safe and remember to take time to be actively grateful. Like, I know it's hard to find good things right now, but hey, we're alive and we get to drink wine.
Aloha, Chris.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much. We're always appreciative of having Chris and his amazing knowledge. And actually, what I love about him the most is he is the most natural, most honest, most unpretentious sommelier I've ever met, ever. He absolutely is just fun, and you know that what he's telling you is just great. So all those wines, all of the ones he mentioned, we're going to have them up on the website very soon, and you'll be able to go and find them at all of your every wine store, every fine wine store. Go look at them. Okay, I know we have to go and take a really short break. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Thanks to everyone who joined us this morning, to Keone Chang with all of the amazing foods at Foodland, and of course to Chris Rommel for giving us some of the best wine recommendations. Check out your local wine stores, and if you need reminders, I'm going to have this podcast ready for you in just a couple of hours. You can have all the information there. Thank you to all of you. Have an amazing Thanksgiving holiday. We'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.
Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu was brought to you by Pieology Pizzeria and by Southern Glazer's Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.